following is a presentation of the Heart to Heart Bible study titled Matters of the Heart, a study through the book of 2 Corinthians. More information about this study is available at www.refugefamily.com.
As we get into this lesson, I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you would cause us, Lord, to be sensitive to your voice. Lord, I pray for your anointing to be on us. Lord, for our ears to hear what you're saying to us. Lord, I'm including my own ears. Lord, let me hear what you are saying to your church. Father, help us to respond to what you tell us tonight. Help us to have our lives changed in a way, Lord, that brings glory to your name. Father, that we might walk as Paul walked, with a love for one another, such a deep commitment and care for one another. And Lord, I know again, I'm preaching to the choir because we do have that amongst these ladies. I thank you for every one of them, Lord, that are here tonight, Lord, who have given up. They could have been at home with their feet up on the table or wherever and just relaxing and enjoying a night at home, Lord, but they've chosen to be here amongst your saints, Lord, for the purpose of getting to know you better and for the purpose of getting to know this body better. And so, Lord, we thank you for the privilege that we have in this. And Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would speak to us tonight. Lord, we pray, God, for our country. We pray in the name of Jesus that you would give our leaders the wisdom that's necessary. Father, that you would stand against everything that would rear its head against you. Father, we know that everything evangelical was taken out of the inauguration. And Lord, we know that that is the direction that our country is headed. And so, Father, what can we do but pray? We have been praying all along. It's not as if this is our last resort. Lord, we have been praying all along. Remind us to continue to pray for our country, Lord, that we might realize the seriousness of the place that we are in right now, Lord. We pray, Father, for the man in Iran, Lord, whose name escapes me at the moment. You know what it is, Lord. The 8 years that he's been sentenced in prison, Lord. I pray, God, for the only reason was for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, Lord. And they are using that as an excuse that he is a threat against their nation. Father, he is a threat against their nation. He is a threat against the enemy that wants to rob, kill, and destroy. And so, Father, we pray that you would use him in the time that he's there. We pray for his release, Lord. But we know, too, that he has already put his life in your hands. And he knows that you are with him, that he's not alone there. I pray that you will use him as much as you can in the same way that you used Paul and all of those guys as they were in prison, Lord. I pray for his family and his two small children, Lord, that you would cover them, that you would provide for them, Lord, that you would strengthen them, that you would help them, Lord, to keep their eyes firmly set on you, that they would not be swayed by anything that the enemy wants to tell them, but that they would keep their eyes firmly set on you. And we do pray for a quick return, Lord, but we also pray even in not our will, but your will be done in this man's life. And so help us, Lord, as we study tonight, Lord, to at the end of the day to give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. And so here we are in the second chapter of 2 Corinthians. And as we go in this, we start with, we ended up with verse 24 last week with the, not that we have dominion over your faith, we're fellow workers with you for your joy, for by faith you stand. And we know that you stand by that faith. And then he starts out in chapter 2 and he says, but I determine this within myself. I determine this within myself. What is that saying? Paul is saying, I spoke this to myself. I have been talking to myself. Now, I talk to myself. I talk to myself all the time. And I oftentimes I'm in the market or something, and there will be another lady in there, and she is also talking to herself. And it's something that we ladies do. We have to sort out things out. I have to sort out things out loud. You know, you learn better by sight and hearing and speaking something. And so I try really hard to get down what it is that I went into the store for. And so I have to speak those things out loud. And I have to speak to myself. I have to speak to myself to get myself in order. Last night we were at Emmy's birthday dinner. And Mia was talking about how her mom speaks out loud to herself. And she says, oh, Shannon, Shannon, stop. Shannon, you know better than this. Come on, Shannon. And you know where she learned it from? She learned it from her mom going, oh, Joy. Come on, Joy, you can do better than this. You know how to do this. You can keep going. I have to speak those things out loud. And so I've passed that on to my daughters as well. What a wonderful thing to pass on to your children. But I had a wonderful example of this past week. I went in for my mammogram. Oh, how fun was, you know, don't you just look forward to that, making that appointment and keeping that appointment? Oh, I just can't wait to get there. So I left as late as I could to be there on time. And when I got there, of course, there were no parking spaces anywhere. There, even the valet parking at the breast center over here on Brookhurst, which means nothing to you guys if you don't go there. But there it was. Even the valet parking was backed up, lines of people with their cars parked in there. Not one parking space. I ended up on the fifth floor of the parking structure, and there was one parking space. And there were two cars heading for it. I won. And I got into the parking space, and then I walked down five flights of stairs so that I could walk up the one flight of stairs to get back onto ground level, which I love. I have no idea why they put parking structures like that. Let's go all the way down so that we can again go up. They were concerned on whether or not I had made it to the gym on that day. And so I got all of my stair steps taken care of on that day. And so I get in, and they cannot find my chart anywhere. Well, that's okay. And so I wait for a minute, and then I'm just going to go across the way to the ladies' room right over there. And it's one of, you know, there's several stalls in there that you can go in. And so I went in and all the way to the back one, and I'm locked the door, I'm all seated, and the lights went completely off. And so I'm sitting in there, and I'm going, well, now, when I came in here, was that an automatic light? And don't automatic lights usually stay on until you leave? I don't know. What? And then I thought, is there somebody else in here? I didn't see anybody else in here, but maybe there's somebody else in here, and they turned the light off. And then is when I spoke to myself. I said, oh, Joy, stop it. You have to get out of here. You cannot stay here. And so I'm still talking to myself. I'm getting everything taken care of, so to speak. And then I have to find the door, because never go into that little, who designed those things anyway? You know, those little things where the toilet is about here. You know, once you've gotten down there, there's no, you have no hope of ever getting up again. But so I go, you know, I'm in the big room, which means I think the door might be there. because it was so black, you could not even see this close. And so I'm, okay, oh, there's the lock, okay, got the lock off, and which way does the door open? It won't open. Goes the other way. That's all right, you're okay. Joy, you're going to get out of here. You will not stay here. And then I have my hand along the wall. I think the door's down there, okay. And then, oh, I got my phone. And on my other phone, I had a flashlight on my phone, but not on this phone. Oh, of course not. No. So I get my phone on, trying to find the flashlight. Oh, never mind. Okay, yeah, okay. And I get out, and of course, the lights are off. All of the electricity was off in the hospital, in all of the medical buildings, that whole corner. All of the electricity was off. So I haven't had it done yet. But here's the illustration. I spoke to myself and I said, you cannot stay here. You are not going to stay here. It may be as black as anything, but you can't stay in here. You have to get out of here. And you know what? Sometimes we find ourselves in a place where it's darker than we've ever been before. And we have to say to ourselves, Joy, you got to get out of here. You can't stay here. You can find your way out. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. He'll direct your paths. Whether it's feeling along the wall or however it is, He will get you out. And you don't walk alone. And so what did David do? And David, in Psalm 103, why would I want to speak to myself? David spoke to himself all the time, and we know that David was one of those guys who dealt with depression. He had a few times in his life, we know that he had some depressing times that he dealt with. Well, in Psalm 103, as I started reading it, I realized what we have to bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. And for me, I usually say, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and body, come along with it. Do something. Raise your hands. Do something. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Every bit of me, let me put it in, all of it, to bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and don't forget all His benefits. We're talking a lot of late about benefits, aren't we? Who should get those kind of benefits? Well, you know what? If I love the Lord with all my heart, soul, mind, body, and strength, I get all the benefits at His expense. I get all the benefits. He's the one who forgives all my sins, all my iniquities. He's the one who heals all my diseases. He is the one who redeems my life from destruction. And my life was in destruction. He redeemed my life. If you would have asked somebody in those days before I knew the Lord, is she worth it? I think there would have been people who said, no, she's not. It's not redeemable. Thank God that He looked at me and He said, it's all redeemable. You are all redeemable. And God has redeemed my life from destruction. He's the one who crowns me with loving kindness and tender mercies. Loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies my mouth with good things so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. Now, I would die to have my youth renewed. I have got to tell you, every day I feel like I really would like to be younger. Anybody else in the room ever felt that way? I just would like to be a little younger because my mind says I'm already at the door and my body says I ain't leaving this spot. Mm-mm. No, I'm comfy here. No. You see how long that walk is? Mm-mm. Not going there. But my mind is I'm going to get there and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And I plan my whole day out and I'm, oh, yeah. And, well, maybe. Maybe tomorrow we'll do all those things. It says that he satisfies my mouth, satisfies your mouth with good things. Now, there's two meanings there. He can satisfy my mouth with things that are good for me to eat so that my youth can be restored. My strength can somewhat be restored. I don't want to run the marathons and stuff. I just want to be able to walk. I just want to be able to keep going and be used for his glory. And he can use that by the things that I put in my mouth. He gives me good things to eat. But he also gives me words that are fitly spoken, that are like apples of gold in settings of silver. Those are the good things of my mouth. They will renew my youth because of the excitement that comes with youth. When youth, you look at a little kid, everything is new. I remember looking at Bethany when she was really little, and she had this cup of milk. And it didn't happen every time that I realized she hadn't ever done this before. But she took the cup, and she turned it. And for the first time, she realized that if she turns her cup this way, it will all run out. She didn't know that. It was new to her. Everything is new. I found it kind of funny at the time, but not the second time. The first time I chalked it up to something new in her life. The second time it was a repeat offense. So those renewing, when I'm speaking those good things, and being positive, I'm not speaking about positive confession here. I'm speaking about looking at things with the positive light that God gives us so that my youth can be restored, because everything's new to me then. God, I reacted in a really neat way today because you put the right words in my mouth. You helped me to speak the right words. And so he spoke to himself. David spoke to himself in that. And in Ziklag, you know the story of David in 1 Samuel. I'm going to turn to it, 1 Samuel 30. You can if you want to, but we're just going to briefly look over those first few verses. And it happened when they got back from fighting. See, these guys had followed David to go fight, but David had not paid attention to what God had told him about going on this particular fight. And so they come back to Ziklag, to their home, and they find out that all of their children, all their wives, everyone has been taken. They haven't been killed, but they've been taken, and all the stuff has been taken. And all of David's men looked at him, and it says down in one of these verses here, in verse 6, David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him because the soul of all the people was grieved. They were so grieved, they were going to put David to death. And then it goes on to say that David, in verse 6, David strengthened himself in the Lord. He strengthened himself in the Lord. He spoke to himself in the Lord. And he got the word from the Lord of what we're going to do. How are we going to handle this? God, they want to kill me because I made a bad decision. I didn't pay attention to what you had to say to me. And so I want to do what is going to bring peace to these people that are going to restore these things. Remember, it's all redeemable. And God told him exactly what to do. And he went out to the guys and he says, let's go get the people. And they went and they got every woman, every child, every bit of stuff that was taken. Every bit of it was returned. Why? Because he strengthened himself in the Lord. Because he paid attention to what God had called him to. And I encourage ourselves. When depression hits, we need to learn to encourage ourselves. I would say that there's not a person in this room who has never had to deal with some bit of depression. At some point, I'm not talking about, really horrible, some people deal with that. But all of us have experienced some depression in our lives. How are we going to deal with that? We must encourage ourselves. He's the one who's delivered me. He will deliver me. He will continue to deliver me. And so all of that before me, encouraging myself in the Lord. And as I was getting ready for the study, and I was, I've been dealing with some stuff in my life that I didn't really know how to handle these situations. And I had spoken to the Lord, and I said, God, I'm doing battle as best I can, but I just can't seem to get anywhere. Well, I mentioned that when leaders lead, their group, as they are getting ready for this event, their group have different people praying and fasting every day for this event. And with that group, there's a lady who sent me her devotion for the day. She didn't send it just to me, but to all of the speakers and all of the people that were on that mailing list. And she sent to me 2 Chronicles 20, and it says, "You will not need to fight this battle. Position yourself, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you." You don't have to fight this battle. You just need to stand. One of the neatest things about the armor, shoes shod with the gospel, with the good news of Jesus Christ. Those shoes in battle had nails in them, so that they were made to stand in the mud. To stand in the mud. They weren't made for running. You can't run in those kinds of shoes. But they're made to stand. And so when we put on the gospel of the good news of Jesus Christ upon our feet. And so we move all the way to verse 3. And so we talk about, "And I wrote this very thing to you, lest when I came, I should have sorrow over those from whom I ought to have joy, having confidence in you all, that my joy is the joy of you all." Confrontation. How many of you love confrontation? Not many of us do. Now, I have known people who will confront everything. Everything is a challenge. Everything you say, everything you do, it's challenged. And it's called a 2-year-old. You know, it's just constant. But there is a place for confrontation, to speak the truth in love. Most of us get to a place where we're so frustrated with something that's going on, and we keep brushing it under the rug. We don't want to deal with it. I don't want to have to deal with that. No, I know it's wrong. I know what they're doing is going to really hurt them. I know it's, but I don't want to, no, I don't want to talk about it. And then all of a sudden, one day, that person who you are so frustrated with because you won't confront the situation, that person says hi to you, and you're, and everything falls apart. And you say things you wish you'd never said. You did things you wish you'd never done. And all because you wouldn't obey the Lord when he said, you need to speak to this thing. And do it now. Do it right now while I'm with you in this. Don't put it off till you're at the point where you just can't stand it anymore. Because you will blow up. And you'll say things, the wrong things there. And so then in that confronting, we have to be careful. How do we hear when someone speaks to us in confrontation? And how do we respond? When I am speaking to someone on an issue that needs to be changed, I am only responsible for speaking to them on an issue that needs to be changed. That's my obedience. That's what I'm responsible for. I am not responsible for their response. Now, they might respond in a way that I don't want them to respond. They might yell at me. They might tell me how self-righteous I am. They might say, all sorts of things to me. But if God told me, and I am confident that God told me to speak to this issue, I'm only responsible to do that and to confront that. I know I've told you before about the lady early on in the ministry who, her name, Candy was her name, and she, we're going to have a prayer meeting at her house and everything. And as I came in the door, and I had a dress on, and she was so excited that I was dressed this way. And I didn't wear a lot of dresses then, and I don't wear a lot of dresses now, if you've noticed. I barely ever have a dress on. But she stood there, and the first thing she did was, God, just let Joy understand what it is I'm about to tell her, please. What? You know, when anybody does that, you know you're in trouble right from the get-go. And then she went on to tell me how I wasn't a good pastor's wife. I didn't dress right. I didn't do my hair right. I didn't wear the right makeup. I didn't do the right things with my children. Basically what she was telling me was that she thought she would be a better wife for my husband. That's basically what she was telling me. That was the last time we had a prayer meeting at her house. But I haven't always responded this way. As I stood there and she told me these things, and I just stood there. And then I just, excuse me for a second, I just have to go into the bathroom, lock myself in, and maybe kill myself while I'm, no. I'm just gonna go to the bathroom right now, and I'll be out in a few minutes. And as I went in there, and I said, God, if any of these things are true, help me to change them. Just please don't make me love her right now. And you know, God was faithful. And that was a proper response. And yes, I did have to love her right then. But God heard my cry as well. You know, and later on that it turned out that everything proved to be exactly what I had originally thought. So anyways, just how will I respond to someone else's confrontation, and how will I confront when God tells me? You know, a lot of times we want to do it by texting or by email. Do you know how many misunderstandings take place through email? Yeah, I just wanted to say hi. But why did you say it that way? I said hi. Yeah, but you didn't say blah, 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 blah. And there's a misunderstanding there. Speak to one another. Speak to one another. I was so excited to find out that one of my friends, I can talk to her on her phone with Verizon. We both have Verizon. I can talk to her as much as I want. We can talk for hours, and there's no charge. But if I text her, every time I text her, every word is a charge. So I love it, because I would much rather talk to people than to try to figure it. Okay, delete, 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 delete. No, wrong word. I'm not good at that. I'm not great at that. So emailing and texting. And so what this is probably is about what was going on in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. That's what most of the people said, that this was about the man that was sleeping with his stepmom or his mother-in-law or his father's wife. This lady had all kinds of titles that people were giving her. And so really it comes down to, it's not very likely. There is a chance that this was not actually referring to that man that was in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Because of what, when it goes down further, it looks like it what might have been something that was personally against Paul, that the church rose up and defended him, and that it caused a lot of, you know, problems there. And so we have in verse 4, for out of much affliction and anguish of heart, I wrote to you with many tears, not that you should be grieved, but that you might know the love which I have so abundantly for you. Paul loved the Corinthians, but if anyone has caused grief, he has not grieved me. You see, in verse 5, but all of you to some extent, not to be too severe. Don't be too severe in this. And why not? This punishment, verse 6, this punishment which was inflicted by the majority is sufficient for such a man, so that, on the contrary, you ought rather to forgive and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one be swallowed up with too much sorrow. Therefore, I urge you, reaffirm your love for him. Reaffirm your love for him. Forgive. Forgive. Ladies, we must forgive. And I know that there are a number of us in here that know people that we would rather not forgive because we don't think that they are worthy of our forgiveness. But the bottom line is, I am not worthy of God's forgiveness. And God has forgiven me of all my sins. Who am I to hold against someone else who has a repentant heart? I will forgive. I must forgive and reaffirm my love for him. Now, in those situations where there's someone where we're going, they don't deserve that. I can forgive them, but I don't have to have lunch with them. I don't have to have coffee with them. I don't have to sit down and have a long chat with them. I just need to forgive them and let them know that they are still loved. That's all that needs to be done. Verse 9. For to this end I also wrote that I might put you to the test whether you are obedient in all things. You confronted the man, you confronted the people in this other situation, and now will you be obedient in this? Will you be obedient to forgive and to move on, to move forward? Now whom you forgive, verse 10, anything I also forgive, for if indeed I have forgiven anything, I have forgiven the one for your sakes in the presence of Christ, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. And ladies, we cannot be ignorant of the devices of the enemy. We cannot be ignorant of his devices. A lamb that's out by itself, for whatever reason that it's out by itself. Maybe the whole herd walked away from it. I don't know. Or maybe the one lamb pulled away from the whole herd. But either way that lamb is out there by himself, he is prey to the enemy. When we think we can do it all alone, and we think we can be out there by ourselves and we don't need anybody. Now, I'm not talking, I love to have some time alone. But when I stop going to church because I can watch it online, and I stop going to this because I can do it online, and I don't go out of my house because I can do it online, or I can do all of this stuff in the comfort, you hear it all the time, in the comfort of your own home. You don't even have to leave your home to go grocery shopping. You don't have to leave your home to get your medications that you need. You don't have to leave your home to get clothing sent to you. You don't have to leave your home to go to church. And what happens in that? I see myself very differently because I'm right. And there's no one there to argue with me. And it leaves me prey to the enemy. It puts me in a place where I can be snatched up like that. We need each other. Now, are we sinning if we watch online? Of course not. But if that's all you want to do, and you don't want to be around anyone else, we all have to admit that the reason that we don't want to be around someone else is because of how we're feeling about ourselves. And we don't want anybody else to know that we feel that way about ourselves. And so we stay away. And we try to hide. And we just can't. When we try to hide, we end up in that place where the enemy can get to us. And so we do need each other. And so, verse 12, furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened to me by the Lord. Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened to me by the Lord, I had no rest in my spirit because I didn't find Titus, my brother, but taking my leave of them, I departed for Macedonia. So I went to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened to me by the Lord. This was not something I set up myself. The door was opened to me by the Lord, and I was preaching the gospel, but there was something in my spirit that wouldn't rest because all I could think about is how you Corinthians were doing. And I noticed that Titus wasn't back yet. I still didn't know how you were doing, and I was concerned. You know, Paul, as wonderful a man as we see him, was not the perfect man. I want to say he put on his pants one leg at a time, but I think he wore a robe. But he was just, takes a minute, doesn't it? He was just a normal man, and he worried. He was concerned for them. Is this the same man who said, don't worry about anything? And yet he was concerned about the welfare of the Corinthians and whether or not they were walking with Christ. And he expresses his concern here. I love you guys so much. I need to know that you were doing okay, but Titus didn't come back. And I know that the situation wasn't good in Corinth when I sent him there. And what if something has happened to Titus? I don't know where to find him to get any news. I haven't seen him. I wonder if my friend is okay. God, is he okay? And then I left Troas where I was preaching the gospel and everything was going really good. I went over to Macedonia and I stayed there. I had no rest in my spirit. Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. Thanks be to God who always, always, always leads us in triumph in Christ. Now, I can be triumphant on my own. I can win things on my own. I want to say that I could win a race on my own, but I couldn't. But I could win things on my own. And I could have that triumph on my own. But I would rather follow closely behind him so that he can lead me in triumph in Christ. I want to triumph in Christ Jesus. Because those things that are of me, nothing. They mean nothing to me. They're there and then they're gone. How many of the people do you know, have you read about, who have so many years they've exercised and they've gotten ready for the Olympics. They've won the gold medals. Who's the swimmer who won all the medals this last time? Phelps. And he won all of these medals. Okay, I won all these medals. Yay, I won all these medals. Go to bed the next morning. Okay, so what am I going to do with my life now? I have all these medals. Everything that I worked for so hard has been achieved. People who have become millionaires or billionaires at a young age have nothing more to push on for because they've triumphed on their own. Let's triumph. Let him lead us in triumph in Christ. And through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in everything, in every place. The fragrance of Christ. The fragrance of Christ. Now, I have a bit of an allergy to perfumes, but I wear an oil. And when I wear the oil and I carry my grandbabies around, Bethany will say, "Oh, you've been with Grandma," because they have taken on my fragrance and they have diffused it elsewhere. That's what we do. We take on his fragrance. In a trial reveals what we're really made of. Just like when the gold is heated and the dross comes up to the top, that's what everybody sees. When I'm in the midst of a trial and in the heat, what do people see? Do they smell burnt something? Or do they smell the fragrance of Christ? What am I made of? Who am I? And I have got to share with you, ladies, that it, without fail, when I am teaching on Tuesday nights, just before I come in here, I am challenged on something that I was teaching about. And I was challenged in a trial just before I came up to teach. What am I going to diffuse? Okay, so what are you going to do? Is it going to be the dross? Is that person going to see something burning? Or are they going to smell the fragrance of Christ? You see, we don't get this information. We don't get this teaching. We don't understand these things for the purpose of sticking them in our back pocket. We get them to use them, to practice them. And so he leads us in triumph in that fragrance. In verse 15, "For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing." We are the fragrance of Christ. I love that it starts, "For we are to God the fragrance of Jesus Christ." We are to God the fragrance of Jesus Christ. We take on his fragrance to the perishing and to the saved. To the one, we are the aroma of death leading to death, and to the other, the aroma of life leading to life. And who is sufficient for these things? One, death to death, aroma of Christ. And the enemy could smell the death coming in. And Paul was using something that they were very familiar with here. They were familiar in Rome with this very thing. Now, when a soldier or the leader of the brigade had killed 5,000 and had taken territory, he would have a parade. And in this parade, he would ride in the chariot. The leader of the whole group would ride in this chariot. Behind him would march the soldiers. And behind the soldiers would be the enemies, the captives that were there. But alongside of them was the priest with the incense, swinging the incense. To those who were the soldiers who were still marching, it was the fragrance of victory. It was the aroma of life. But to the enemy, to the captives, it was the fragrance of death. Because as they walked through the center of town, they were on their way to a place called the Circus Maximus. And in the Circus Maximus, there they were, and they would do battle with animals. And in doing the battle with the animals, of course, all died. So this swinging of the incense to one life, to the other death. Certain death, and they were preparing themselves for it. What kind of aroma are we putting across? And who is sufficient for these things? I have written down in my notes, dude, this is so awesome. Who gets to do this? who gets to be the fragrance of Christ? Do you realize how exciting that is to go into a world that's dying and to be able to diffuse the fragrance of Christ amongst those who are perishing? And they say to you, there's just something about you. There's just something about you. I want what you have. We're diffusing that fragrance of Christ. How awesome that is to get to do that, to get to do those very things that we love. For we are not as so many selling the word of God, but as of sincerity. But as from God, we speak in the sight of God in Christ. That sincerity. When we go before the Lord, will we go with our noses? You know what I'm talking about? That sincerity, when the wax was added to that statue and that wax was there to make it look really good until the heat came. And when that heat came and it all melted away, will we go solidly? Will we be able to stand in that day, diffusing the goodness of the Lord, that fragrance of the Lord? But as from God, we speak in the sight of God in Christ. We speak in the sight of God. Don't fool yourselves into believing that he's ever taken his eyes off you. Can't take my eyes off of you. Do you realize that God is singing that about us? Cannot take my eyes off of you. How romantic. Oh, I wish I had a man that said I can't take my eyes off you. And we have that. God says I can't take my eyes off of you. That's how much I love. I can't take. And how does he see each one of us? How does he do that? I don't know. He says that he does. And so, Father, we are so thankful that you can't take your eyes off of us. Lord, that we can diffuse your fragrance to a world that's dying. And Lord, help us as we go about our days and our times, Lord. Help us, Father, to bring glory to your name, to honor you, to bless you, to walk with you, Lord. Help us to keep our eyes on you. And Lord, as the ladies get into their groups, Father, I pray that they would just so enjoy themselves together as they pray for one another, as they strengthen one another, as they encourage one another. And we thank you for this time, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.
So wake up, wake up, wake up, all you sleepers, stand up. Oh, stand up, stand up, all you dreamers, hands up.
This has been a presentation of the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry at Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about this ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.